whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Inside, the Niners need to upgrade. They need to upgrade bad. Obviously, Javon Hargrave has been a massive disappointment. Massive. Hey, you can't understate that. Getting some defensive tackles that could take some pressure off of him and maybe get some one-on-one opportunities to rush the quarterback and push the pocket inside, I think will help a guy like Nick Bosa. I also think the scheme doesn't do him any favors with the wide nine. He's so lined up outside, and if you don't have good defensive tackles inside, not to say that Collins wasn't good for the Niners, but if you don't have good defensive tackles inside, especially in a wide nine scheme, you're going to probably be less and less effective. Well, and Nick Bosa was that.
I think,
and nobody wants to hear it because of the money he's paying.
No, well, I think the money is extremely important. On the list of problems for the Niners, Bosa's low, but when you're paying a guy that much money, I want some return on the dollars. And I don't think they're maximizing him. And I don't think he's maximizing himself. And so that's why this is an issue for me. I still think he's a good player. But like, Doug, we gave you premium price tag.
Have you soured on him a little bit because of some of the stuff off the field? Not just on the field. Some of the off the field stuff.
I don't really care. Like if I'm being real, I think way more people online care about, you know, who people are voting for than in like real life.
It was just the timing of it, right? It's just kind of, it's not even that incident that I'm outraged about. Like, I don't care either. I'm with you. I don't care either. But it's the totality of everything in a way you're like, dude, you're a leader of the team. Well, you go up there, you do what you do, and then you say, yeah, I'm not going to speak about it. And then the Campbell stuff happens. The night of the Campbell situation, Thursday Night Football, you say, yeah, I don't know what really happened. What happened? I didn't know. And then the next day, you say that, well, yeah, I heard some chirping going around, and, you know, I probably should have said something, but I didn't. Dude, you wear a C on your chest.
Well,
George Kittle was ready to fight Devondre Campbell. George Kittle went up to the podium and said, I wish I would have known something was going on during the game. I would have talked to him right then and there. Fred Warner probably would have saved him.
Well, that part I agree with. Like, just my setting in general, and I said this, man, ad nauseum, but like, I don't really want to hear who Steph's voting for or Steve Kerr or Greg Popovich or Nick Bosa or Tom Brady. I just don't care. Like to me, if you're getting your voting cues from celebrities and athletes, like, okay, well, we're different. I don't care. And I don't want to hear from them on those things. On the teammate stuff, on the leadership stuff, yeah, I do have a small problem with that. Absolutely. Like, that stuff is real. And
but also,
I think that's where Fred Warner and George Kittle have separated themselves from Nick Bosa as team leaders.
Yeah, but not only that, it goes back to last year when everybody was dogging out Steve Wilks for a cover zero blitz in Minnesota. And I'm trying to look at the bright side of that game saying, well, you held him to 6 points in the second half. The quarterback threw two picks in the fourth quarter. The quarterback threw two picks on back-to-back plays in Cincinnati. You know? And Bosa was throwing a D coordinator in the bus. It's like, that's acceptable around here now?
Well,
and everybody rolled with him. And now everybody's begging for Steve Wilks again.
Well, this is why you cannot listen to the players. On the next DC, they can't listen to the players. I love Fred. I love Nick. You cannot let them sway you on who they want.
We brought up D coordinators with Baldy, and I'm going to get to Ward because we could do that as we end the segment. But here's Baldy. You know, I asked him about the Cincinnati defensive coordinator, Lou Anarumo. Would you go after him if you're a Baldy?
I think he's much more creative than anything I saw in San Francisco over the last couple of years. I'm a big Lou Anarumo fan. I think he has a very sharp mind. I think I remember talking to him. He lives literally right down the street from me in Fort Lauderdale. He's got a house there. But I remember talking to him this year. I mean, at one point in the Kansas City game that they lost at the end in Kansas City, he had two healthy defensive tackles, like, playing. Two. Like, they were so thin up front. And some of those guys weren't very good players. So, like, he was doing the best he could with what he had. But I think that would be an upgrade. I don't think he's going to be unemployed long. Like, I think there's a team on the East Coast that is going to make a switch pretty soon and reach out to him.
I wonder who that team is. Is it New York Giants?
Well, no, because Daboll and
Well, Wake. They may change their D coordinator, though.
But wasn't he Daboll's defensive coordinator originally?
No, he's offensive coordinator.
No, saying Daboll was the head coach of the New York Giants, and he had Wink Martindale, and they let him go.
Yeah, they let him go.
So but not them.
But no, but, you know, Wink's in Michigan, but they may fire their D coordinator. Who knows? The Giants may fire their coordinator, C. Lou, and say, hey, I'm trying to figure out that deep East Coast team.
In 2018, Anarumo was the defensive backs coach for the New York Giants in 2018. But that was what? Joe Judge? That was before Daboll.
Before Daboll. I'm just trying to figure out an East Coast team.
Who knows?
New England?
Panthers?
They said they're going to keep their D coordinator. New England? I don't know. But
Jets?
Sweet Lou? I do like Brian DePaul.
Does every Lou need to be addressed as Sweet Lou? I kind of like this.
I do like Sweet Lou. Yeah. No, I either want Sweet Lou or I want Wink Martindale. I was thinking about Wink and then BPA out of nowhere.
Such a great name.
It is such
Sweet
a great name.
Sweet Lou or Wink, Wink Martindale.
Wink. Wink or
and
Sweet Lou.
I never know what's his real name. It can't be Wink on the birth certificate.
It can't be Wink.
It's got to be Wink.
I love when he wears the thermal, like it's like the dry fit. And then he has the cut sleeve sweatshirt, and he doesn't even bother to wear a t-shirt.
Don is Don Martindale.
Oh, Don. Yeah, Wink works way better. Don.
Well, I guess Wink was a famous like radio personality and a game show host back in the 70s. You know the tic-tac-toe game?
Yep.
He was the host, and he was Winston Conrad, a.k.a. Wink Martindale. So that's why they gave Don Martindale, same last name, the nickname Wink.
Okay.
The more you know. Look at that.
There you go. So Baldy was saying that, yeah, he wants to get back. I was like, yo, does Wink want to get back in the NFL? He wants to leave Ann Arbor? He goes, oh, yeah. The Niners should call him. Maybe Shanahan is calling him. Hey, you saw his defenses with Baltimore all those years. You saw his defense. He said they let the league in takeaways at the New York Giants. The New York Giants was sorry. Sorry as hell.
Do you think he's actually going to fire Sorensen today? I don't.
Like, you think he's going to run it back with Sorensen?
I worry that they are.
They run it back with Sorensen? That may be the end of Kyle Shanahan.
It's not the quarterback.
It may be the beginning of the end.
It's the DC.
No, it is a DC. It is because the quarterback's fine. The quarterback's functional.
Let's go back to 2017, 2018. The DC wasn't looking so hot.
He wasn't looking hot.
I mean, there was a time when Robert Saleh was on the hot seat. They were like trying to trot out Cassius Marsh as an elite pass rusher.
Yeah, but Sorensen, if Fred Warner had his back, Nick Sorensen, he goes, it's on the players. Nick has been good for us.
Who had a great year on defense?
Nobody. Oh, Diamond Lenore.
Was it a great year, though? It was a good year.
I thought it was great. Okay. He was locking dudes down. Now, the interception numbers went up there, but I was like, wow, Lenore's playing some high-level quarterback.
Okay.
In my opinion.
Yeah, anyone else?
I thought Renardo Green played well. Was it great? He's a rookie. It's tough to say that. But outside of that, Fred Warner, once he fractured her ankle, wasn't great.
No.
But before he fractured her ankle, Fred Warner was playing out of his mind.
4 weeks, give or
Four
take.
Four or five weeks, yeah. Yeah,
and then the ankle he was.
So that's about it. Devondre Campbell, we know, wasn't good. Leonard Floyd didn't have a great year.
I mean, we were down so bad. Some guy, Ian Anderson, none of us ever heard of, is out here making plays with the Guardian cap. And you're like, you know what? Maybe he can help.
Dude, I'm with the 6'5'0 here. You want a defensive coordinator that could take over the entire defense and let Kyle just focus on head coaching and offense. No more babysitting defensive coordinators. That's from the 6'5'0 on the Comcast Business Text Line. 888-957-9570 is a number. How many people think Nick Sorensen deserves another shot?
There can't be anyone. They were minus 74 in the second half.
Oh, I know.
Plus 54 in the first half.
Oh, I know.
Minus 74.
The numbers are not good.
They got one turnover after the bye, and it was a Caleb Williams backward pass fumble.
You know, a lot of people were bitching about it last season about Steve Wilkes being in the booth, and, you know, they need inspiration. They need a defense coordinator who's fired up because we got so accustomed to Robert Saleh and D'Amico Ryans being jacked up there.
We got very lucky with D'Amico. He was awesome.
But then, you know, we need somebody who's, you know, is fired up and can get guys going. Whenever they would pan the camera to Nick Sorensen, did that inspire anybody?
No.
His body language.
He's wearing sunglasses indoors.
Come on, man.
I call that the guru.
It could be anybody. I love glasses indoors. Glasses indoors is a different type of look. You got to have a different type of costume.
He did have the surfer vibes.
You know, Deion Sanders, shout out Coach Prime. By the way, Sam Lovett got me Coach Prime socks for Christmas. Pretty cool.
Did he?
He did. I'm aware of one day.
Was that at the Big 12 discount store?
Big 12. Hey, Big 12 made a name for themselves against Texas.
You remember what the socks came with, Bonte? It came with a candy?
Oh, yeah. It came with the a grape Airhead.
Love, man.
It was Bonte, I mean, opened it on air, and Bonte was like, why does it have to be a grape Airhead?
Yeah, why couldn't it be strawberry or something, right? Why'd it have to be grape? I mean, Lubman does. Poor told Lubman. You. But Lubman, man, Lubman went black. He ain't never, he's never coming back. Lubman's all about the black woman. And I ain't mad at him for that. I am not mad at him for that. Get it how you live, player. Gus Bradley got fired last night. By,
I want nothing to
by
do with
Indianapolis. Yeah, I want nothing
I
to do with him, too.
Don't even suggest. I am so over the Pete Carroll scheme from 12 years ago.
That.
Get out of here.
I don't want that.
Get out of here.
You talk about stay-at-home dad, but you don't do the glasses indoors?
No.
Oh, come on, man. That's a gangster look, man. I love it. No, it's not a douchey look, man. It's a different type of ball game. Coach Prime doing it, Guru doing it, I'm doing it. Come on, Carter laughing. Hey, man. You got to have a different type of swag to wear glasses indoors. It's a different type of look. Not the blue blockers that Carter's wearing. Talk about those. You get you some Dolce & Gabbana's, some Ray-Bans, some Prada's. Next level. Oh, legal? Okay. I got some glasses in the car. I don't even know what brand they are. It just costs a lot of money. They look good on me, though. I got a big face. You know, you need big glasses. Ask. Come on, man. I got to get you some swagger, man. Come on, dog. Getting too square on me over there. Shout out to those watching on YouTube. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union for a low rate auto loan. Apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. Also, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app. I'll address this question once because I'm sure we're going to get it every single day of the offseason. 510-COMCAST Business Text Line. Bonte, the 49ers literally have the easiest schedule in the NFL.
I just can't tell
me they won't at least double the amount of wins. Now, number one, we don't know how good these teams are going to be. Don't look into that 510. Free agency hasn't started. The draft hasn't started. There's going to be trades galore. Tyreek Hill may end up on one of these teams. What if he ends up with Carolina with Bryce Young? Holy smokes. They're going to be better. So let's not look at the strength of schedule right now. That is a dumb exercise. Not calling you dumb 510, but that is the silliest thing I've seen floating online.
So last year, the Washington Commanders were 4-13.
Exactly.
Last year, the Chargers were 5-12. Last year, the Vikings were 7-10.
Yep.
Okay, I'm just giving you some examples of some teams. Last year, the Denver Broncos were 8-9.
Pittsburgh, where are they?
I think they were actually better than, where are they? 10-7. You know, so point being is that, yeah, for some teams, they might still be bottom dwellers. Like, you know, New England feels like they're a little hopeless right now, but maybe they have a Washington Commander, you know, ascension forward. Maybe the New York Giants figured out a quarterback and they do something. Like, the league is so unique. Think about the Carolina Panthers and how all of us thought about them at the end of October. And now think about the Carolina Panthers and how you feel about them right now.
Bryce Young's throwing no-look passes for touchdowns.
So, like, and I know, like, this kind of bleeds into the Niners. Like, everyone's like, Joe, last year you were so high on Purdy. It's like, yeah, I was really, really, really high on Purdy. And then we saw this year, and, you know, I'm a little less high on him. I still like him. I want him to play quarterback, but I've got some red flags, and I'm a little hesitant on some things. It doesn't mean that he's garbage. No one's saying he's garbage. It's just, you know, 2 years ago, you asked me about Nick Bosa. I'm like, yeah, I think he's one of the best top three players in the league. You asked me about him this year. He's nowhere near the top 10 on just his side of the ball. So things do change rapidly in the NFL. The one thing I don't want to hear about is the schedule next year. I thought the schedule opening up this year
was easy.
It was easy. And then we went to Minnesota and everything changed.
Yeah. The Jets game might have been one of the best games
the Niners played all year.
I'm not buying it.
Definitely Moody's.
Jake Moody.
Yeah, I think he hit two in that game.
I'm not.
He had way more. Didn't he have like five or six field goals in that game?
I had him as my fantasy.
Yeah, he had like 20 points.
Six. I had him on my notes.
He was my fantasy football kicker. And then he got hurt. Then he got cut. Tre'Davious Ward. We'll end the segment with this. Obviously, he had a tough season. tough season, to say the least. Now, he did get blessed. I think him and his wife, Mrs. Wart, they ended up welcoming a baby boy during the holidays, which congratulations to Tre'Davious after what happened with his daughter. But here's what he had to say about entering the season, and he's talking about money.
I think they went into this season thing and they wasn't going to be able to afford me based off the way I played last year. You know, if I would have matched that last year, I probably would have been in one of the highest paid corners in the game. But, I mean, obviously this year didn't go my way or the team's way. But to see what the market talking about, if they can afford me, you know, it's a chance I can come back. But, you know, they may not be able to afford me. So, I mean, I just want to go somewhere where I want it and what I'm love. You know what I'm saying? I feel like that's what I need right now, a lot of love. And I know the Niners love me, you know what I'm saying? But in this business, you know, a lot of time money talks. But I build great relationships here. So, you know, we'll see. Honestly, I don't know where I'm going to end up at.
It sounds like he's going to be gone. But it's just the money.
It's like, you know, Jimmy Butler, like, you know, I have no joy playing basketball for $52 million. It's like, I know it's a business and I understand all that. But, God, there are times where I'm like, guys, this is like, just remember who you're talking to. Your audience doesn't want to hear about how much money you're making or how much little you're making.
Well, you know, you get asked a question. That's the business they're in. You got to answer it. The reporter's going to ask, well, what do you think?
There's a little more tact than that. You know, yeah, like Tyreek, for example, Tyreek Hill's closing segment of what he was saying. It's like, come on, Tyreek, read the room a little. What if you don't come back? What if you do end up coming back and you don't get traded? Right? You're going to just walk back in and everything's going to be fine?
He will show up. He's got leverage. Will show up. Moody Ward. He did mention this about possibly coming back. Listen to this.
You know, I got a lot of trauma in California. You know what I'm saying? I had a lot of great times, but the worst thing that's ever happened to me, that's probably going to ever happen to me, knock on wood, happened in California. You know what I'm saying? So, again, just bring up bad memories. You know what I'm saying? Like, every time I get on a plane and come back to California, Santa Clara, San Jose, and show up here, it's just bringing up bad memories, you know what I'm saying? I go through that every day, you know what I'm saying? I go home every night by myself because, you know, my girl, she don't want to come back to California because of what happened, you know what I'm saying? So it's hard being alone, and, you know, she's my strength right now. I need her, you know, so her not being able to be around me if I'm in California would be tough, but, you know, like I said, stuff can change, you know, I can get stronger and probably get over that.
How can anyone have any, you know, opinion other than, like, yeah, I respect that?
Yeah, I mean, it's... That's where we're at with Moody Ward. He's probably moving on. And you know what? For both parties, yes, the money is a factor, and the Niners probably don't prioritize Tre'Davious Ward due to the money and due to the ascension of Renardo Green, who looks really, really solid. You're probably going to be in the market for a corner at some point, whether it's free agency or the draft. But Tre'Davious Ward has probably put his last snap in the 49ers uniform, and it's understandable. And that, what he said at the end there is that his wife wanted to come back to California. She's good. So he's coming back on a flight, coming back to California, thinking about the tragedy that they suffered. So, yeah, it's probably best for him to move on and move on from this tragedy, no doubt about it, to help him heal from that. I can't knock that whatsoever. And Tre'Davious Ward was a good Niner.
He was a really good Niner. This year wasn't a great year for him. No. But, like, in terms of a free agent signing, I thought that they squeezed that for everything. Like, he was a really good value. Think of some of his big games. Like, he shut down DK Metcalf. He shut down Jerry Jeudy. Like what's the guy? CeeDee Lamb in the playoffs. Like, he had some monster playoff games. Yep. Really good in terms of, like, high pointing the ball, making plays on contested catches. I thought he was a really good Niner. This year, it's a lost year for all the personal stuff. I mean, you said it all. What can you say? I thought he was good though.
707. Interesting point here. I kind of agree with him on this to a certain extent. As I get close, you know, we've both been in this business for a while, so you get closer to players and kind of understand it a little bit. And I hear you on the money. The average fan doesn't want to hear about money or whatnot. But 707, I think that when contract talks come around and the average person looks at the money, says the players are greedy, you should stop and think about Boogie Cousins. He was a freaking force of Sacramento. One injury probably cost him $100 million. Maybe more. So no hard feelings if the dudes want as much money as they can get. I would do it in a second. And I know on the flip side, somebody's going to say, well, Boogie's already rich. He doesn't need that much money. But you know what? It is what it is. I think Dave Chappelle says it all the time whenever he does stand up. I have a $50 million hole in my stomach from walking away from my Dave Chappelle show because they wanted to go corporate. Now, he's made up that money, of course. But still, whenever I lose money, I'm like, damn, I left money on the table. Damn, I don't care what walk of life you are. Carter, you feel the same way? Like, your parents, you know, hey, we left some money on the table. You're not going to be happy about it. So that's, you know, I kind of agree with the 707.
Yeah, but it goes the other way. Like, now you got paid, Niners ain't getting nothing back.
Well, they'll get something back. He's on the roster. The Niners kind of played themselves. You know, I went to the individual here. Football team would be fine. They'll make that money up. We got some Shaq Khan sound. We have, what else do we have? We have Ricky Pearsall, and we've got the Warriors back on the floor tonight. I do want to talk to the Warriors with Krzyzewski. Get your thoughts on everything going on with the Dubs. They're still in the box in the play-in tournament. For all the Kings fans that are listening, that are hate listening, you're still out of the box. If the play-in tournament started today, Sacramento, you would not be in it. Hang that banner, buddy. That segment will be sponsored by the San Francisco Airport.